Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Father, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Well, hello everybody, this is Will Bluewater coming in tonight. We're live with Steve Morningchild, and I'm not sure if the music played out or what happened, but apologies if there was some kind of an error. Steve is a bundle dancer, and I don't have your bio in front of me, or maybe I do here. Read you a little bit from Mark Fortuning's with us also, and Mark is going to be doing a Mayan birth reading for Steve, but we have a slow. Everything is so slow tonight. I just cannot believe how long it takes. I guess it's Sunday night and everybody's on the internet, but just sometimes it takes forever to get pages to load. But Steve's a humble guy. There's not a whole lot out there. I'm going to torture this. I'm going to make the attempt, but it looks like Omikwan Yo Awasi, Steve Morningchild, is a Cree in the fictional province of Saskatchewan in the fictional country of Canada, and he has written, he says, "I deeply comment from the bottom of my heart on your endeavor to get your land back. We still have our tribal custom and usage here, and with the Creator, Great Spirit's blessing, we'll succeed with our ceremonies, which we still do, and keep you in our prayers. The foundations to international law are overseas. It's the Palladium of the Troy Treaty, Noah's Ark Treaty, Seal of Solomon Treaty, and the North and South Americas. It's the Wampum Belt Treaty, Chains of Authority Treaty, and the Peace Pipe Treaty is where we reside. That with brothers and sisters, and we're all part of the Great Spirit's children. White, yellow, red. But we all welcome Steve to the program, and he's been working hard. He's been out at ceremony, and he's going to be doing some more. I guess he's going to be talking tonight a little bit about the bundle dance. But first, Mark, if you're ready, why don't you, let Steve say hi, and then we'll,
hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Then we'll have Mark, are you ready to go, Mark?
Sure.
Okay. Go for it, and we'll get, there's some badger man. There we go.
There we go. Between the sheets, those that thing there.
Okay.
So, Yeah, and Steve's birth. And the traditional Mayan day count was on a day called Hor Hetzenab. And it has a lot of some very interesting things. I'll go over a few of them. But first, kind of the numbers on in the glyph. The four of the four Hetzenab kind of relates to balancing things of energies and elements. You know, the wind, water, earth, and fire. Bringing those together in a balance of their energies. And then the Hetzenab part of it, let's bring in an aspect of a kind of a yin and yang, again, the balancing again. A symbol a lot of times is a double-bladed obsidian knife blade. So it has to do with a lot of meanings of it, of willingness to make sacrifice to for the good of other people. A lot of people don't understand that meaning of willing to make sacrifices to help others and for benefit of everybody else. As far as Hetzenab is sitting in a larger cycle, hence the men or the eagle cycle. So I wouldn't be surprised if Steve has some eagle spirit power kind of guiding him along. Hetzenab also has to do with light, energy, and in Lakota they have something called Skanskan, the two lights coming in. It looks like, you know, if you took a teepee and turned another teepee upside down and stuck them together, it kind of makes an hourglass-like shape. And that has to do with kind of a radial light energy. So I would suspect Steve probably has some connections in with that. Two forms of light coming in and moving and swirling around and connecting and forming our reality or creation. Now in another viewpoint here, we're going to go over some more things, and it's going to be a forward time flow, a backward time flow, and where these two time flows come together and create a unity. So on the forward one, Steve has some energy that's of the sun. And it's things that relate, this is probably more going forward from his birth, things that he's probably carried with him his whole life. Cronus, basically spiritual gifts. It has to do with the flowering or growth of things, courage. Probably his whole life he's had a very strong concept of oneness, of unity. Kind of was the Lakota Omotakiyesen and the Mayans say in the cache, everything all is related. And so he's probably had that for his whole life, a pretty strong sense of that. And in connection with that is awareness, flourishing, prosperity of things, and things with intention. So things with the sun, things about getting together, connecting everything as one, and the direction of intention with the purpose of forming things and doing things. Dimensionality of things, working with that. On the backward flow of time, coming back to us from the next world cycle into this one, these are the things that may have been showing up in his life recently, maybe back as far as 1997 or maybe even before that, and getting stronger. And these are things about strengthening will, purpose and discipline, things with polarity, things with challenging things with the polarity of things. Energies that have to do with soul, joy, forgiveness, things like that, you know, just being a good person, all that. And these coupled in with free free will and being present in things. So those types of things of a purpose and working with a polarity of energies of all different types. And then I suspect he's probably been working on things to help people reach this, being able to teach people about forgiveness, helping to forgive past wrongs and stuff, and helping fix those types of problems, because if we fix those, that'll probably help out a lot. I suspect he's been doing those type of things. It's been probably part of his purpose and discipline and will to be doing that. Now, where these two come together and form the unity point of the two energies moving forwards and backwards in time, this one's about, says that he has the ability to teach, especially teach things that are wisdom teachings. Especially when they're about will, opening up new pathways, community, things about community and cooperation within the community of people, and also teaching things that have to do with art and making things. Also an overriding background energy or strength of using dreams and intuition and stuff to guide the wisdom and the teaching of the wisdom. And part of this wisdom that he's probably going to be using is universality of all, or again, that oneness, how everything in creation is unified together. So I suspect he has a very good talent at teaching that type of wisdom, and it's one that's going to not only help other people, but help Steve move from this world cycle into the next one. It's essentially the bridge or the doorway or the path that gets him from one place to the other, is doing this type of teaching with community and wisdom and cooperation and all that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you were born to do what you're doing. Is that any surprise?
Well,
what?
You hit everything on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, some people are put in their mother's wombs to do certain things, and I guess we live in those times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one other thing, Boywater. The one I just mentioned, actually several of his quills. They're sitting in a cycle in a picture, and the center of that picture is a Nynaeke.
Oh, really?
So, what? Yeah, both of his things that we saw on the 4S map, and also on the
connection
the one I just mentioned, the Unity reading, both of those two are both connected into the Nynaeke.
So that connects him with Quetzalcoatl.
Exactly.
We get a lot of guests that are mysteriously connected somehow to Quetzalcoatl. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention.
Uh-huh.
On his 4S map, or 4 in the Aztec version or Toltec version, it would be Nahui Tecpatl. And that one is, that particular date, there's an interesting event occurred. That is the date in the calendar, in their calendar, that the image of Guadalupe appeared.
Wow.
In Mexico. I believe there's some evidence that suggests, and some of the people I talked to, that image and White Buffalo Catwoman are actually the same thing. And so Steve might benefit by learning about that and about Teotihuacan and the Pyramid of the Sun and the connection between that image and the Pyramid of the Sun, specifically to a cave that's sitting underneath that pyramid.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
And that relates back to Quetzalcoatl also, because if you take the name Teotihuacan, Teo is Lord, Wa is water, and Con is serpent. Lord, wind, and water, or Lord of water, serpent, Quetzalcoatl. Quetzal being Teo, and the wind, and the coatl relating to Wakan, Teotihuacan.
Well, wow. Well, now you know. Now you know why you're doing what. Did you ever wonder why you're doing what you're doing, Steve? Did you ever wonder why you ended up doing what you're doing rather than building skyscrapers and or taking pictures or something else?
Well, first of all, let me introduce myself. My Cree name, Nihil Wihun, is Omega New Awasis, which means winged child in Cree. My grandfather, Wapan Awasis, means morning is Wapan, and Awasis in Cree is child, so white man comes along as that morning child. But
yeah,
he's supposed to be Wapan Awasis, that's my grandfather's Cree name. He only had one name back then. Now you need 20 names before the Wapskoya's white man will recognize who you are.
Yeah, they're funny about that.
Yeah. And I do a lot of reading of Meredith Quinn Musa. His Indian name is Musa. Is Meredith Quinn. He came from Wahpeton, South Dakota. Talks about Sisseton, South Dakota, Wahpeton. That's where he said he was from. I got all kinds of his writings with me, and I read just about all of them. And you're talking about the serpent.
Wow.
Well, to me, the serpent religion means time. The serpent means nothing to me. It's time. In his writings, he says, well, the sun is not a big ball of fire as we figure it's supposed to be. It's not a big ball of fire. It's when you go from here to the moon, it's total darkness. So to set an example, you turn on your switch to turn your light on the light bulb. You know, it gives off light, but you put something in front of it, and that's that would be your world, and there would be light all over. You know, there would be hardly any darkness if there was a big ball of fire, which would be the sun. But according to Meredith Quinn, it's time leaving the sun, going at 35 million miles per second, which takes 2.5 seconds for time to reach Earth and bounce back, going faster. So this is what creates light. Light is a byproduct of time. And about the serpent religion, you know, I see down in the Mayan territory, down south there, they got the pictures of snakes and all that. To me, it's time. Time religion. How do I explain this? You go put yourself about a billion miles up in the air, and you look back at the sun, and from the sun right down to Pluto, it would look like a big snake writhing, because time traveling, it kind of wobbles. I heard somebody you can bend light, but you can bend time also. I got it on my I got a picture of it on my computer, and when they first seen it, the Vatican, the Pope, oh, that's a serpent religion, they're prey to the snake, which is BS.
Yep.
It's time. Every time I see a serpent, a religion, when they talk about serpent religion, I always say, it's nothing but time religion. That's why we have time walkers.
Well, we
and
see
this ceremony that I'm doing. It's similar to the one Bigfoot and his followers were killed for, or after they finished, or before they did that ceremony. It's similar to that, the one I'm doing. We just finished doing one here last Tuesday, and I'll be doing mine. I thought I was going to do it on the 6th, but I'll have to move it a day back, so it'll be on September 5th, which will be on a Friday. I'll be doing my ceremony on that date, because there are other ceremonies. We just finished one. Where I live, there is 6 different ceremonies that are performed by the people around, you know, the surrounding area, which is the Sun Dance, Chicken Dance, they call it. We just finished one up north here, about 50 miles north. And they got the pipe ceremony, they got the horse dance, and but there's 6 different ceremonies that we do here, and I participate in every one of them. And when we do our ceremony, according to Meredith Quinn's teachings down in Vero, Florida, and Melbourne, Florida, they found dinosaur bones. Alongside it, laying beside the dinosaur bones, were human vertebrae. And scientists know that the Indian of North and South America, for that matter, survived the last 5 ice ages. That our great ancestors walked this world with the dinosaurs.
Makes sense.
And when we have our ceremonies, we feed the dinosaurs when we throw tobacco and food along with the print into the water. We pray to the water, because water interconnects, whether it's salt water or fresh water. Hey!
That's okay. They're not making that.
That's my great granddaughter.
They're not bothering us. It's okay.
She's kind of hungry, I guess. So they're going to have to.
Sure.
Yeah, but this is what we about the ceremony I'm doing. This is what we do. We feed the dinosaurs that our ancestors walked this world with. You know, that's not billions of years ago. Scientists are lying to everybody in the face of this world. See, the last polar shift happened about 12,000-13,000 years ago, not millions of years ago.
Yeah.
This is the findings of Meredith Quinn, his teachings. And when we have our ceremony, we invite the people that passed on ahead of us. I don't know how many years ago, hundreds of years ago, when an old lady passed on, it would cut the braid off of her head and bury, or however they did their ceremonies. But they wrapped this up and blessed it, and this is what we use. The hair of the old ladies that passed on, our grandmothers, our clan mothers, because this world was run by clan mothers, not the patriarch society. It was the matriarch society here in North America and South America and in Europe. Cleopatra was a clan mother. She was not a queen. But she was a clan mother for the white tribe. And we just finished doing a ceremony inside a crater that came from the sky, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands of years ago. And they left the crater right by a river, and this is where we finished the ceremony today, which was the first one for me, to do it inside that crater that landed from the heavens. You know, how long ago, I don't know. And another thing that the Vatican and the federal governments of all countries don't want Indians to own these meteorites that come through space, because our ancestors talked with the beings from up there. Me, I had a dream about a couple of men that came on these UFOs, and they talked to each other right in front of me, and they said, "This is the world. We came here one time already." So they got back in their craft and they flew away. And in the meantime, Mother Earth was shaking like it was going to disintegrate, and the sun was giving off the colors of the rainbow. At the same time, these beings came into the house, and when they went out through the window, through the wall, Mother Earth stopped, and then the sun went back to its natural color, and everything is going to turn topsy-turvy from that moment on. The evil stuff is going to go down, and the good stuff is going to be the one that we're going to be our law. I do a lot of studying on Meredith Quinn. And another thing, I'm not a Native American. I am American Indian.
Oh.
Because if you call yourself Native North,
oh, the Thunder people agree. The Thunder people agree. Did you hear the boom?
We're American Indians. We're not Native Americans. If you call yourself Native, you'll probably ship you overseas because you were born overseas.
Yeah.
Even the Black Law Dictionary book identifies the word Native as born abroad. So I shy away from that word Native. I keep telling people, but they just won't listen, and what can you do? When the time comes, they're, who are they going to run to?
Well, when AIM went to Switzerland years ago, they voted to that we were going to call ourselves American Indian.
Yeah. Because Noah was the one that created natives.
And, can you repeat that name? Steve, can you repeat that name again?
Meredith Quinn?
No, the Noah.
Noah's Ark. Noah.
Uh-huh.
He was the one that created natives.
Uh-huh.
And there was no such a thing as Noah's Ark, according to Meredith Quinn. It was just a treaty.
Oh.
The overseas, like you, the first one you first came on, you mentioned the six Aboriginal treaties. Well, three of them are from England, overseas, like Europe, which is the Palladium of Troy Treaty, Sheila Solomon Treaty, and Noah's Ark Treaty. And here in North and South America, for that matter, it's the Wampum Belt Treaty, Kings of Authority Treaty, and the Peace Pipe Treaty, which is where I'm at right now.
Are you Treaty 7? Is your band a Treaty 7 band, Steve?
No, Treaty 6.
Okay.
Treaty 6 area, 121,000 square miles that was ceded over in 1876. They used a peace pipe at the negotiating days. Now along comes Prime Minister Stephen Harper saying that the treaties are no longer valid, which he's committing treason. You can hang him for that. Like he's saying that the treaties are no longer valid. He's going against the Creator and peace pipe treaties that are the foundations to international law. You know, you could hang the Prime Minister from the balls because he committed treason against us.
Well, that is
Steve.
Go ahead.
Remember I mentioned on your birth reading the eagle? I was just looking. I found out Meredith
Quinn.
According to one thing I'm seeing, he wrote something on universal law, but he,
yeah,
he's also...
he's on YouTube.
You yeah, he's also...
YouTube.
He's also Eagle Clan.
Well, us here, I think we are Eagle Clan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people can look up and do a search on the net on Maris Quinn and Universal Law.
Yeah, he's on YouTube. Just punch that in, Meredith Quinn, Universal Law, and you'll find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you guys better listen to him, because he died for trying to help his fellow Indians. In one of his writings, he writes down, Creator, please forgive me. I've tried all through these years trying to help my fellow Indian, but he does not understand. So I'm going to wash my hands off a distant go and retire. I've done everything possible already. This is what he writes down in his writings, and he retired after that. But that's when the guys went and found him in Salamanca, New York, and they made the videotape.
Yeah, if people are interested, look for, do a search on YouTube for Treaty Law, an interview of Meredith M. Mm-hmm. Quinn, Dakota Eagle Clan.
Yeah. That video you see on YouTube, it came from me, because I was the only one that had that video, and I lent it to a friend of mine. The next thing I know, it was on YouTube, which is okay with me, because, you know, we want to let the people in North and South America, for that matter, to let them know who they are. Did you know only 35 square miles belong to the United States? All the rest of it does not belong to the United States. 17 square miles in Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. 18 square miles in Minnesota. All the rest do not belong to the United States. It belongs to the Indian, but the Indian doesn't know who he is. If you call yourself Native, then you don't know who you are.
Well, the United States government excuse
Native,
for...
Native is the... Natives were created by Noah. Noah. And I got a... an autopsy report that belonged to my clan mother's sister who passed on. Now get this, I'm going to tell you the story, because this is why I do the ceremony that I'm doing. Her sister passed on for about a year and a half, and she kept dreaming about her sister coming back from the skylight and handing her a piece of paper. Then one day she phoned me and said, come on over, come and read the autopsy report that I have, that, you know, I got about my sister. He said, so I went over there, and the white man called her North American Indian. This North American Indian died suddenly. Twice they call her North American Indian woman. And if you say the word Caucasomasis, all you're saying is the white race clan mothers. White race clan mothers, Caucasomasis. Then we have the North American Indian woman clan mothers. So there's a big difference between that two. There are Caucasomasis and North American Indian woman clan mothers. And where I'm living at, there are six lakes intertwined with each other. And according to the elders who used to do the shake tent, who used to speak to the spirits and whatnot, they told them Loon Lake, the lake surrounding, the six lakes surrounding, is the most powerful of all of the surrounding area within the Treaty 6 area, for that matter. But where I live, you know, this is why we have a a good finish every time we do our ceremony here, because like I said before, we feed the dinosaurs also. And we invite the people that passed on to come and eat and dance with us. We use those bundles, because the bundles hold the hair of these old ladies, old clan mothers that, you know, hundreds of years back. But that's my, that lodge I do, I 63 years old today, and I probably did it about 30 times already. Those are my great granddaughters.
Oh, and before I forget, Steve, I wanna offer you my condolences on the passing of your daughter.
Yeah, my daughter was killed by a serial killer in 92, 93, and she left behind two kids, one boy and one girl. The boy has four daughters, and her sister has one boy, so I got seven kids, great-granddaughters and two great-grandsons.
Oh.
But this is what I teach my grandchildren. They all know how to sing. But I sent out the word to the Lakota people that I'll be doing my ceremony September 5th. Now it's only one day less. I said I was going to do it on the 6th. So I was hoping, Bigfoot and his people, I got their pipe with me. Why did that pipe make its way to me? If it's really the pipe that Bigfoot and his followers had. But the story, the guy who gave it to me said it came from that Wounded Knee massacre. That pipe. How long ago is that? 110 years ago? 120? Or how many years ago is that?
December 1890. 124 plus.
Yeah. How come it took that many years for that pipe to find its way to me? You know, I find it a mystery. You know, because I've been doing that ceremony for, you know, like I say, about 30 times now since I was born. That's my home. I feel at home in that ceremony. But I send out word to the Lakota people to try and come and at least one or two people to come and represent the pipe, you know, to make that tie between the Cree Nihiyawak and the Sioux, Lakota Sioux, through the ceremony.
Oh. Steve, have you ever seen a dance that was a spiral dance?
A what?
And rather than a round dance, it's a spiral.
Spiral?
It's a spiral.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, according to Wovoka's grandson, was on the cast and crew of the movie Billy Jack. And Wovoka taught him exactly how the dance was done, and it was filmed in the movie Billy Jack.
Okay. Then it's no longer sacred, because when they filmed Man Called Horse, they filmed Richard Harrison being strung up in with those on his chest. Meredith Quinn wrote about that. He says it's no longer sacred. It's just another ritual because it's been filmed. See, us Indians are the ones that are destroying our ways, our culture, by allowing, like during the Sundance here lately, within the last 5-10 years when they came out with these cell phones, you've got guys in there sitting in a Sundance lot while somebody's singing, all of a sudden the cell phone rings and they talk, you know. And they got young guys using cell phones right now as they were talking there, is using cell phones, taking pictures of us doing our prayer, doing our song, and they go out there and say, well, I know how to do this now. You know what I mean? They know they're instant. We call them popcorn elders. They pop up all over these elders now.
Yeah.
Or plastic shaman.
Yeah.
That's what, there's a lot of those guys out there.
Yeah.
And it's destroying the meaning of our culture. You know, they don't do the proper protocol to go and ask an elder for the songs that the elder uses. We got these guys here in my reserve. You know, they sing my songs. I got up and told them, I said, you shouldn't do that. But they said, these are the spirit songs anyway. I said, well, they might be the spirit songs, but do you know which spirit owns this song? But they're getting a little over too smart, our younger generation. You know, they're destroying our culture by selling out. Just give me a minute there. I got to run to the bathtub.
And while you do that, I'm going to play. It's a song called "The Light," and it's about Indians and encounters with UFOs. It's a little under 6 minutes, so take your time.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm here no longer. Song of the wind, I'm here no longer. Cry of the wind, I'm here no longer. White or black, I'm here no longer.
Are back with Steve Morningstout and Mark Porcheting. And so everything come out all right, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you got to inspect that plumbing regular. Keep it running up there on the reserve. They don't not very forgiving. But yeah, you ever heard of that song before?
Nope. Not me.
That was Robbie Robertson come out with that, I think about 94 or 5, something like that. And good song. There's a song in there about the ghost dance and several other songs. And I'll put a link up to it because there's some really, really good, deeply spiritual songs. Robbie's of Six Nations.
Okay, yep.
Just say that. And but anyway, where were we? And if it gets hard, you know, just let us know.
How long are you going to be having this talk? One hour?
We can go as long as you want or as short as you want.
Well, by the way, I have to go next door. I got
okay.
To meet up with a friend of mine that... he's having the same kind of ceremony I'm having.
So we'll go about 5 or 10 more minutes then.
Okay, so we're going to discuss when is the time to lift the pipe for me and for him. He's going to do it a week after I finish. There's still, that ceremony is still alive. We just finished one here. That's been my last tooth. Did you see on the 5th? Yeah, on the 5th we finished one. The same kind of ceremony that I'm doing. So it's still alive in our part of the world, of this country.
Well, let me ask something. Do you know anybody up at Joseph's Big Head?
Yeah.
Do you know Alex?
From there.
You know Alex?
He just came from there. Who?
Oh, I think his name is Alex. He's a traditional leader up there. It's been several years. My friend Red Elk has spent a lot of time up there with them, and he and another friend of mine spent a summer up there. But yeah, I maybe I got
Alex,
the name.
Alex Chicken Runner.
Yeah, that's the. Yeah, Red Elk.
There's only one Alex that I know of is Alex Chicken Runner or Alex Kapipa Tau. The Chicken Runner. There must be that one there.
Yeah.
That's my cousin.
Yeah, Red Elk and I have talked quite a bit about Joseph Bighead Band and some of the things they tried up there and some of their frustrations and. But, yeah, I figured you weren't too far from there.
About 50 miles south.
Oh, okay.
That's where we were today, last night. Yesterday and today we were there.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, they had a ceremony.
Yeah, a few years back, they took Red Elk to sacred sites all across Canada. And... met up with a lot of good folks up there. Don't mean to interrupt, I only got a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I'd like to mention is back in 1886 when Real Rebellion, they call it.
Uh-huh, Meji, uh-huh.
Big Bear and Major Steel. They fought this mile north to where I live. That was the last shot ever fired between a war between the Cree and the Northwest Mountain Police in 1886, yeah. And I only live about a mile south of there. Matter of fact, we drive there every day when we go to town. But that's the last fire ever shot in anger in this part of the world, like, you know, that was 1886 in Canada, for that matter.
Do you know Martin Carrier?
Who?
Martin Carrier, he's a well-known Métis elder. We interviewed him.
Carrier.
Carrier.
I heard the name Carrier, yeah, but not, I don't know them people. See, I keep to myself here. I don't go around. Just to these ceremonies.
Right.
Yeah. When they have a big meeting, when they call for elders, I don't go there because, you know, I don't want to sell my prayers for a few dollars. You know what I mean? Because, like I say, there were a lot of popcorn elders popping up all over now with all the money being... passed out by the big corporation FSI, AFN, and MLTC for that matter. You know, they pay a lot of money for elders to go and pray for them. But I don't do that, me. I just stay out of it.
Is that right?
That's why I'm not well known.
Yeah, you gotta, when you laugh, you sound like Ted Finnell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I want to, you know, we only have a few minutes left. I want to thank to all the listeners that are listening to whatever I have to say. You know, if I offended somebody, I don't mean it as an offense meant. But the truth has to come out.
Yep.
Like what I say, I'm an American Indian. I'm not Native American. I'm not putting anybody down, but you have to wake up. You ever hear the word wake up and clean house? When they say clean house, it means you clean your body, your mind, and whatnot. Look for the truth. You know, and I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but if you want me to speak again, I'll be available next Sunday, maybe the same time, because there's another ceremony that I have to go to.
Well, we'd love to have you back anytime you want to. We've got, you're welcome to bring other guests on if you want to, but we've got some things scheduled for the next 3 weeks that I know of. And
okay.
But if you really got a message you want to get out, you know, we can go on another night, and that's no problem. You just let us know.
But we always pray for all American Indians. When we say Nuwahumaganakin Cree, it means all our relation, whether it's Sioux, you know what I mean, Blackfeet or whatever, the Indian country. We always pray for everybody in the North America continent. You know, when we say that, to the Creator, Great Spirit, we always pray for every one of them, in the Indian country. It's not only us that we pray for ourselves, it's for everybody, that wants to go back to their cultural, we'll be available to teach anybody that comes along. If you give me a cigarette, you ask me a question, I'll be in your pocket until I make you understand who we are and what we're doing. Because that's what one elder told me. If somebody gives you one cigarette, he's in your pocket until you finish doing whatever it is that he wants you to do for him. Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
I like to see the day that the whole Indian people in North America get together and hear all that laughter we used to hear instead of the crying by our children, our hunger and whatnot, all this alcoholism, dope, you name it, this is destroying us Indians. But I like to see each and every one of us get together and, laugh and have a good time.
It's coming, Steve.
I hope to live to see the day, that day, when we can say hello to each other and feel like that we're at home with other people's houses, the way you used to be. But with that, I'd like to thank every one of you, everyone that's listening. If I offended somebody, I'm sorry, but, the truth has to come out.
Oh.
But we'll be praying for each and every one out there. It's not only us that we pray for. But I'll have to go in a few seconds here. I have to go and see my friend there, the one that's going to be doing the same ceremony that I'll be doing.
Okay.
And, you know my number, Just let me know, phone me. Maybe even later on, after 10 o'clock, I'll be home. I'll be there about an hour. All right?
Okay. Hey, thank you so much, Grandfather Steve.
And thank the, what's that other guy's name again?
Mark.
Mark, yeah. I want to thank you, Mark. Thank you, each and everyone listening out there. My English is not that good, but I can get by.
Oh, you're doing okay. Great.
Great. It was good having you on the show. I'll be back again sometime.
Okay,
thank you. Good night now.
All right, thank you. You can call me back after 10 o'clock. I'll be home.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye.
Good night now.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. I hope. Oh, As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember who I am.